أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأنه كان رجال من الإنس يعوذون برجال من الجن فزادوهم رهقا. وأنهم ظنوا كما ظننتم أن لن يبعث الله أحدا. وأنا لمسنا السماء فوجدناها ملئت حرسا شديدا وشهبا. وأنا كنا نقعد منها مقاعد للسمع فمن يستمع الآن يجد له شهابا رصدا. وأنا لا ندري أشر أريد بمن في الأرض أم أراد بهم ربهم رشدا. وأنا منا الصالحون ومنا دون ذلك كنا طرائق قددا. صدق الله العظيم. We are still continuing with Surah Al-Jinn, and we are at ayah number 6 of this surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is narrating the story of those jinns that came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was reciting Qur'an al-Kareem in Salah, and they heard the recitation of Qur'an al-Kareem. As soon as they heard it, Iman got into their hearts. They went back and started inviting the other people to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the message they conveyed was so important, was so great. The words that they used were so meaningful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrated that message in His book, Qur'an al-Kareem. And it's not only because what they did was great. In fact, what they did had lessons for us and for the people, for human beings and jinns to come till the Day of Judgment. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is narrating it in His book. Remember, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this book, Al-Quran Al-Kareem, is forever. And it's going to benefit people to come till the Day of Judgment. This message is endless and has no limit to it. And at all the times and every time, all human beings and jinns can benefit from this message. So, looking at it from that angle and understanding why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is narrating this message in His book, we'll go to the message, and as I said, is a continuation of the message that we were talking about in our previous sessions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, and of course narrating what jinns were saying to their followers, their fellow beings, وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْإِنسِ. They are mentioning the reason why many of the jinns never even thought of coming back to the straight path. A very important thing to consider in our life. Of course, first thing we will deal with it the way it is, those jinns being away from Islam for this reason, and then we'll see how it applies to us. So they said, the jinns, when they came and they were telling the when they were telling the people the reason why they never thought about following the right religion of at least searching for the truth, they said, كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْإِنسِ. There were some men among human beings, يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِّنَ الْجِنِ, who used to take shelter with some jinns. So there were some men, some human beings, who used to seek shelter in jinns. فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا. So this thing increased them in sin and disbelief. The background of the ayah is, in those days when people used to travel, during their journeys, they used to station anywhere. They get a place wherever the night time comes, they would station there. So there were no service centers, service areas wherever they might be during their journeys, they will just stop somewhere. So sometimes they would try their best to be close to a town, close to a village, so they can station over there, so they can get some water also, or at least they're not afraid of being attacked by beasts or things of that kind. But it happened also many times that they would have to station in the middle of the jungle. It's night time. They can't see any village around them. They don't want to go too far from their way. So now they have to just station wherever they are, and it's night time. They cannot continue with their journey anymore. So as they would station there, they used to call in the desert. Now in the jungle, the person is afraid that anything might attack him during the night time, and he has no means of protecting himself because he will be asleep. So he would be shouting there, calling the jinns, that all leader of this community and all you who is the owner of this place, protect me against all of those who are under you. And he meant to call the jinn that, or you, which means the jinn, that is the leader of this place, protect me from all the evils and especially from your followers, from the other jinns. When jinns used to hear this, they knew that we can't hurt them all the time. We can't do nothing wrong to these people whenever we want. But these people are so afraid of us that this is why they are calling us. So now they would think, as they would see that these people are afraid of us, so they would try to take advantage of it. And part of that advantage that they would take of that situation would be that they would go and make some noises around the man. So the man is afraid. Then they would talk to him and tell him a couple of things from here and there, so he feels that he's talking to the greatest power in the world. He's talking to a supreme power of the world. But it's only a jinn. But since he cannot see him, he cannot see the jinn, so he feels that this is a supreme being. When jinns saw that these people believe in us so much and they consider us so great, of course they started getting worse and more violent, because they thought and they knew now we can control human beings. Jinn say, for that reason, they said human beings, in other words, they are telling us that you, the human beings, have no understanding of it. You people are totally ignorant about this situation. You thought we can have a lot of power over you. We did not. But because you people were seeking refuge in us, you are calling on us to help you. So we were taking advantage of those situations, especially our leaders. They would take advantage of the situation and they will become even more arrogant and getting more and more into the sins. The same situation applies to us. When a person finds that there are some people around him who feel that he's so great, he is not. And he knows that there are so many things that they think I can do, I can never do them. But since the people around him tell him that, oh, you are such a great man, and they keep on admiring him, they keep on telling him things that he would do it, and he knows they're out of his control. When they give a person a situation, a status that he doesn't belong to, that person starts getting violent. You might see a lot of those people, especially the young people, who have committed crimes in their early young age, and they did certain things that they never thought of doing it at all in their lives. In fact, after being caught and going now into the prison, they're sitting over there and thinking, why did I do that stupid mistake? Why did I do it? I wasn't supposed to do it. Look at the background. Why did he do it? There were people around him who said, oh, you can do it. You think that he can curse at you and just get away with it? No, we know that he won't get away with it. And then you say, yeah, you know, I'm going to get him for it. And then you run out and get after the person. And get into some crimes. Or these type of similar situations occasionally happen whenever a person is told, is given a position that doesn't belong to him. He doesn't belong to that position. He starts getting violent. Many times you find two, three people when they get together around one man and they start telling him, oh, you are this, you are this. So he starts getting impressed by himself now. Whether people are really impressed or not, he's impressed of himself now. It happens to us when people admire us. A couple of people will say, MashaAllah, you are such a good man. So we start thinking, I might be good. This is why they are saying I'm good. So occasionally you will say, in the beginning you will say, no, you know, I'm not a good person. Another person says, MashaAllah, you are such a good man. You say, I'm not a good man. Third one says, now you start feeling this. I must have done something great for them to believe that I'm good. It reminds me a story that we used to hear in the childhood. A teacher comes to the class, and now children have planned that we don't want to have a class today. So one of the students got up, he says, oh, today, what happened to you? He says, nothing. He says, oh, look at your face. You feel, it looks like you're sick today. I feel like doing something for you. Is there a way I can help you with it? He says, no, there is nothing wrong with me. Go and sit down. And he sits down, another one gets up, he said, teacher, you know, I feel so sorry. So sorry. What happened to you? And he says, nothing. He says, no, you look sick. Is everything okay at home? And he asks him, going, he says, everything is fine. Go and sit down. And he sits down. A third person comes up. He says, teacher, what happened to you today? So now he feels it must be something, you know. If all of these are saying that, and he started feeling sick himself. So he lays down. And all the children say, okay, you know, we'll massage you, we'll do everything you want for you. And here he's laying down, and no time he sees the class is empty. Everyone runs out of the class and they're playing out. So when a person keeps on hearing the thing again and again, one person says it, second person says it, third person says it, he feels there might be something behind it. Just like a very simple example for us to understand in this part of the world is how many people around us believe in Santa Claus bringing the gifts. They keep on hearing it. Children, the innocent children, they have no clue of what's going on. And that thing that Santa Claus brought it. Who's bringing it? Santa Claus. And because they have been told that way again and again. And he comes from the chimney and gets all dirty with all the dirt in the chimney, but still he brings the gift for you. So, when people have been told these type of things, gradually they start believing it. So, this is what happens with the jinns, and this is exactly what happens with us also. When people keep on telling us things, we have to look at our reality before we start getting impressed of what we have been told. First thing, look at the reality. See whether there is any reality behind it or not. قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ. Subhanallah. How beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts it. That good and bad, evil and good, can never be equal. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ. Even if you like the abundance of evil, evil might mean abundance, a lot of evil around. But still, that doesn't mean it becomes good because there is a lot of it. And if truth and good is very little, doesn't mean it's bad. So this is one of the reasons shayateen have mentioned, jinns have mentioned, that we were misled and we never thought of coming back to the truth is because of you, the human beings, trying to follow us and seeking refuge in us, so that got us even worse in our kufr and disbelief and sins. وَأَنَّا لَمَسْنَا السَّمَاءَ فَوَجَدْنَاهَا مُلِئَتْ حَرَسًا شَدِيدًا وَشُهُبًا. When we reached out for heaven, we found it filled with stern guards and flaming fires. When we went up to the heaven, before that, and next ayah they say, وَأَنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ. We used to sit there in stations to listen. But now the situation has changed. From the time the Qur'an started revealing, the situation has changed. فَمَنْ يَسْتَمِعِ الْآنِ يَجِدْ لَهُ شِهَابًا رَصَدًا. Whoever will listen now will find a flaming fire watching him in ambush. He will find a fire, a flame of a fire watching and waiting for him. as soon as he would get up there to listen to the talks of angel, that flaming fire will, the shooting star will shoot at him, will not let him listen to what angels are talking about. This was the big thing that happened in the world from the time that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the prophethood. And it was a very important change. Subhanallah, imagine, with the weak iman that we have, if still that thing was there, and jinns would go up, shayateen would go up to the heaven, and they would be allowed to listen to the talk of the angels. They would get a couple of right things, they would hear a couple of words from there, and they're allowed to listen to that. They would come back and tell their friends of the shayateen, of the human beings, tell their friends out of human beings what they have heard over there. Now this person will be sitting on the TV and informing the whole world that tomorrow this will happen, the next day this will happen, and I'm saying it because I know what will happen tomorrow. And people, especially even talking about Muslims, with the weak iman, people will say, look, it looks like this person has a great relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or so powerful that he knows all of this information and he's giving us the right information. So, this was a big change that happened in the world, that people will not be allowed to go and listen to the angels anymore. Shayateen, jinns were not allowed, and they are not allowed to listen to jinns, to the angels anymore. وَأَنَّا لَا نَدْرِي أَشَرٌ أُرِيدَ بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا. Very amazing statement from jinns. Let's look what the statement is and then try to find out why did they make this type of statement. They said, وَأَنَّا لَا نَدْرِي, we don't know, أَشَرٌ أُرِيدَ بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, if evil is intended with the people of the world, أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا, or the Lord wants something right from, wants to guide them to the right path. So after saying, we heard the Quran that is beautiful, very amazing, and guiding people to the straight path, we believed in that Quran. Now they are saying, we don't know through this revelation if something good is meant for the people, or Allah wants an evil, or something evil is meant by this revelation. What does this mean? Of course, if they got the guidance from it, they would know that this is good. And if they don't know if it is good or evil, then what type of believers were they? Remember, what they meant over here is, we don't know if through this revelation and through this message, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have decided to guide people and bring them back to the straight path, and people will listen to it, or it might be the other way around, that the message came for guidance, people will not accept it. We don't know, the time will prove it. But if people will not accept it, that simply means there is an evil coming to them, now a punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would come to them. Because Allah tells us in Quran al-Kareem that Allah never destroys a nation until He would send a prophet to them. And after receiving a prophet, if these people will not listen to the prophet of Allah, then they have proven themselves to be on the evil side of it and not accepting the truth. They have proven that their hearts are sealed and they are doomed. They are looking, wal'ayazu billah, to go towards the hellfire for themselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He sends some time, He sends a messenger to prove to those people that you are not worthy of going to Jannah. Here you have a prophet of Allah. Here you have the message of the prophet of Allah. He's revealing all the messages from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you, and still you don't want to listen. So that's a proof that you people don't deserve to go to Jannah. So this is what they're saying. We don't know through this something good will come out or an evil will come out, which means people either will go to Jannah by accepting it, or who knows, large group of people will go towards the hellfire because of rejecting it. So we don't know that yet. the time will prove it. And of course, we can see that it came out to be Rashada, a guiding for people. We find that large number of people accepted the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before that, everyone was going in the wrong direction. But as the message came, large group of people started entering into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. You see people entering into the deen of Allah in large groups. Having said this, another thing I think would be worthy of mentioning at this time, whenever any nation turns away from the message of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces those with some other people who would follow the message of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want people sitting on it and depriving others from following it. And they don't want to follow it themselves either. Allah does not want that. He does not accept that type of behavior with the book of Allah. He does not approve of this. That we don't use it. We don't benefit from it. We don't recite it. We don't learn it. We don't practice it. And we just sit on it. We don't even allow others to come and take it and practice it. He does not allow this. Whenever anything of that kind happens, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just replaces the nations. He doesn't take the Islam away. Islam will not be taken away. Just nations are replaced. Imagine, when Islam started from Makkah Mukarramah, people of Makkah rejected the deen of Allah. There were some who accepted it. But the remaining people, majority of the people rejected the deen of Allah. Then they thought that Islam will not have any room in the world. And here we find the people of Medina welcomed it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the people of Medina to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to accommodate the Prophet of Allah in their town. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and he lived over there. After some time, as time passes, gradually people start forgetting the facts and they start sleeping on it. So Allah then starts bringing more people, new blood. And we find that it stayed over there for some time. As Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een conquered many other countries in the world. Remember, two superpowers of the world who are considered to be worst enemies of Islam at that time, the Roman and the Persian Empire. When those two were conquered, many people over there embraced Islam. After embracing Islam, you find people of that very same nation, people of the very same nation who served Islam the most in those centuries. It wasn't those who brought the Islam to them. It was those who accepted it and then they served it later on. It will be very amazing to look at our history and look at the biography of the great scholars of Islam, you would find out many of them were those who were slaves. They were captured in battlefields, brought to the Islamic states. They lived over there as slaves. And in some time, they became the greatest scholars of the times. And they became the leaders of the whole Ummah. And we are not going too far. From the time of Tabi'een, this thing is started. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een had slaves. The slaves of Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een when they saw the atmosphere in their homes, in their communities, they loved Islam so much that they spent day and night learning Islam. These were the very same people who became the leaders of the Ummah later on. Russia of these days, it wasn't a country of the world that, if you look at the history, you would say that these were the people selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always looking up to those people to serve Islam. It was nothing like that during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Later on, look how they served the deen of Allah and how Allah accepted their service to the deen of Allah, that you find As-Sihah As-Sittah, the six authentic books of hadith, Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmizi, Nasai, Abu Dawood, and Ibn Majah. All six of them are written by people who were from that land. All six authentic books of hadith are written by people who were in that land. Imam Bukhari from Bukhara, that's part of Russia. All of them are from the same land over there, which we call it Russia nowadays. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps on bringing people into the deen of Allah. And then they serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much better than those who are just sleeping on it. They are just sitting on it. And they don't want to practice it. They don't want to give others the opportunity to come and practice it. Today, we are in the similar situation. We got the book of Allah. We just sat on the book of Allah. Others are not allowed to be Muslims because they look at us. So we are sitting on it. This is our book. It's not your book. So we inherited the book from our forefathers. And this is ours. This deen is ours. This prophet is ours. And then, as we said to others that this is ours, we don't even want to practice it ourselves. Our children, we don't have time to teach them this book then. We said it's ours, but my children don't have time to learn it. We said it's ours. In our family, in our home, hardly we discuss any rulings of the Sharia every day. In our day-to-day life, we said Prophet is ours. In our day-to-day life, hardly we find few sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we just took it. We inherited all of this. We sat on it. Others are not allowed to take it because it's ours. And because it's ours and we inherited it, so I don't have to practice it. I'll just sit on it. But I will make sure that others won't get it either. Allah does not approve of this. He will not allow us to do something this injustice to His book and to His prophet and to His deen. He will not allow us to do it. If a person has some children, you have four children, one of your sons takes over all of your business. Now he's not running the business, the doors are closed. And he's not even allowing his brothers to run it. He says, this is mine. Would the father accept that? And he will say, okay, since you are my oldest son, so you can just sit on it. You don't have to run the business. Keep the doors closed. And you don't even have to give anything to your brothers. If we don't accept that, with some dollars, with some money that we have earned in a short time of our life, with things that we have earned with our hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is He going to allow us to do something of that kind to the deen of Rasulullah, to His deen, and to the message that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to us, and He made Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in work for it day and night, and struggle so much to spread it. He is not going to allow us just sit on it, and don't even allow others to look at it. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that when people get the message, they can be one of the two things. شَرٌ أُرِيدَ بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا. There might be something good for them if they practice it and convey it to others. Or it might be an evil for them, because if they won't practice it, they won't convey it to others, then it's an evil for them, because now Allah's rule will apply to them of the punishment, that you got it and you got the message and you proved yourself of not being worthy of keeping it and practicing it, and thus going to Jannah wal a'yaz billah. وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الصَّالِحُونَ وَمِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. There are some virtuous amongst us, jinns are saying, that don't think we all are bad. If human beings think that all jinns are bad, they're saying, no, don't think that way. وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الصَّالِحُونَ. There are some good amongst us, وَمِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. And there are some who are the opposite. So we have both type of people amongst us, amongst jinns. كُنَّا طَرَائِقَ قِدَدَا. We were divided into many different paths. We were going in many different directions. So, they're telling us that one of the reasons we were not looking and searching for truth and we did not accept the truth at that time, that we were divided badly. And because of that division, that never allowed us to search for the truth, because we were just fighting against each other.
وَأَنَّا ظَرَنَّا أَلَّا نُعْجِزَ اللَّهَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَن نُعْجِزَهُ هَرَبًا. We suppose that we would never escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth, and we will never escape Him by fleeing.
We knew, jinns are saying, that we knew that there is no way to run away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although they are the type of creature whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given the power of being invisible. They can be just like air and flying from one part of the world to the other part of the world. Just like air. And they can be like any other human being or like any animal. They can take the sheep or the fastest running horse and they can be running fast. They can take the sheep of a human being and achieve everything just like human beings. And they have the power of changing their forms and shape just like being a light or being like an air and like being anything of that kind. And then they will be using all the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to those different objects. With all of this power, they say that there are only two places, either the earth or the skies. And we know that we can never escape from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether by running too fast in the world or by flying too fast in the skies. Today we, the human beings, who physically we don't have these powers, but we have invented some things through our technology that will allow us to travel fast or fly far. And just depending on this technology, we feel that we can escape the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Sometimes, the ayah, when you think about them, they are so applicable to some situations. And when you think about it, what's the reason that jinns are mentioning this and Allah narrating it in His book? That we thought we can never fly and escape from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or run and escape from the punishment of Allah. Either by using the land or by using the space. We knew that if whether we use the land or we use the space, we can never escape from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His punishment. But unfortunately, human beings think that we can do a lot. And because of our technology, we can even escape from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wal a'yaz billah. We can do whatever we want, and we forget that someone is there, someone is more powerful there, and the one who again and again reminds us in Quran al-Kareem, وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلٍ, that I don't need to do a lot. I don't need to do too much to have hold over you or to stop you or to punish you. I can just use these birds that you see flying all the time. I can use the bird to destroy you. I can use the mosquitoes to destroy you. I can use the water to destroy you. I can use the air to destroy you. And I have destroyed nations just by using these things. Without sending anything special from the heaven, I just use these things that are always there. And I use the very same things to destroy strong nations before you. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ الَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. Haven't you seen what Allah did with the people of Ad? Iram. The people of Iram. That al-Imad, who were of the pillars, has two different meanings. One is that they had the foundations of their buildings were so strong that they were known the people to be the people of pillars. Their pillars are too strong. Or some of Mufassirin also say that they themselves were so strong that they were just like the pillars on the ground. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed that nation through what? Through the wind. The wind started blowing hard. Picked up all of these people and just smashed them against their own houses. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he recited those ayahs, he said to Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een, that day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not just open up all the air to destroy them. He pointed with his finger that he opened up only this much as the opening of a ring of your finger. He said only that much of the air that he opened to punish them, and that air was enough to destroy the whole nation. That as much as the opening of the ring. This is how much air he opened for them. Extra air than what we normally use. And the whole nation was destroyed. The strongest nation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I ever created, I destroyed them just with that. Qarun, he's walking on the ground. He's surrounded by his people. And he has such a large group with him that he knows he can never be defeated in the world. No one can hurt him. No one can get close to him. Forget about hurting him. He's standing over there. And because of that power, look what power does to people. Because of that power, he thought he can spread any rumor he wants against Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to put him down. He can say anything about Musa alayhi salam. Who's going to get him? The media will talk about it and people will spread the news and no one will know about it, that it was a lie. He got a woman. This is Qarun. He got a woman. Paid the woman. For what? Today when we will have our gathering, I would like you to get up and say that Musa alayhi salam wal-ayazubillah have committed adultery with you. So she was bribed. She was paid enough to do that. And she did it. He didn't realize who he's trying to do this to. It wasn't just any other person. It was Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. When she got up and she said, and Qarun is standing there with his whole group, he says, you are inviting us to the deen of Allah. You tell us that you are a prophet of Allah. Look at what you do. This woman was telling me something. Come on, get up. Tell the people what did he do with you. And she gets up and she says, وَلَيَازُ بِاللَّهِ مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ committed adultery with me. He thinks now the news is going to just fly. Just like it happens. The news will fly. And media will take it. And people will talk about it. And everyone will say, now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is that type of person. But as soon as Musa alayhi salam heard it, and Allah will not allow that type of blame on his prophet. Will not allow that type of blame on his prophet. As soon as she said it, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam got up. He said, tell me the truth, who asked you to say this? And the way he talked to her, Allah put so much fear into her heart that she said it right away. She came up and she said, Qarun paid me to say this. That was it. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam says to the earth, start swallowing him. Harun still thinks that with all of this is still what Musa can do to me. He forgot that he's using now different power. He says, start swallowing him. And the earth started swallowing it up, swallowing him up. And after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, till the day of judgment, he'll keep on getting down and down. With all of his treasure, with all of his people that were around him, he was swallowed up by the earth. Fir'aun, with a type of kingdom, no power in the world, look at it, no power in the world could defeat Fir'aun. He has the kingdom, and the type of kingdom where people believe that he is the Lord. Ana rabbukum al-a'la, I am the highest of the Lord. Subhanallah. And here comes the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He uses the same water that man has been drinking every day. He uses the same water to destroy the person. Namrud, he felt the same way. I have the type of kingdom that no one can destroy. No one can challenge it in the world. And here comes Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. As soon as Ibrahim alayhi salam conveys the message of Allah, he says, burn him in the fire. They tried to burn him. The fire would not burn. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed Namrud through what? Through a mosquito. Through a mosquito that through his nostrils went into his brain and kept on tickling him in his brain. He's tickling him all the time. The mosquito is in his head. Ask the doctors, what is the treatment? We can't do nothing about it. How can we bring the mosquito out of it? So one of the physicians said, the only way that will relieve your pain is have someone keep on hitting you on your head. So the pain outside will make you forget the pain that's inside. And he assigned a person to keep on hitting him on his head at all the times. Day and night someone is hitting him. One day one of the people who got so upset, he's tired hitting him all the day, every day he's just standing over there hitting him, doing nothing else. He got a big rock and just smashed his head. What caused his death? A mosquito. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just uses these things. Abraha came with all of his strength and power on elephants. He's coming with elephants, Allah is coming with birds. Small birds. What do they have? Each bird is carrying three pebbles in his, two in the legs and one in its mouth. Each bird, all it has, this is the whole army of Allah that is coming to fight against those people with the elephants. And here, each of them, as soon as he throws that pebble, that stone, it just passes through the whole body of that man. We might have invented these bullets only very recently. But look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using them at that time. And just goes through the whole body, cuts the whole elephant. And as soon as it goes through them, it spreads a disease. The person doesn't die right away. That's the punishment of Allah. The person doesn't die right away. But the whole body starts melting. It says in the tafsir that whoever was affected by it, got hit by that, the body started melting and they got some type of rash on the body. So as they scratch, the meat, the flesh of the body will be pulling off. They are scratching their own bodies. They can't stop scratching, and as they scratch, they are pulling the flesh of the body out. This is how they kill themselves. It's telling us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives people time. He keeps on giving them some time that they may come back. they may listen sometime. They may save themselves from the punishments. But once the punishment comes, then there is no way of escaping the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَّا ظَنَنَّا أَلَّن نُعْجِزَ اللَّهَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Look at the statement the jinns are making. With all of this power, remember the power Allah gave them. That said, we knew, even during the days of kufr, they are saying about the days of kufr, even in the days of kufr we knew, لَن نُعْجِزَ اللَّهَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَن نُعْجِزَهُ هَرَبًا. We can never use the land to escape the punishment of Allah, and we can never use the space to escape the punishment of Allah. Neither in the space, nor in the land, there is no way to run away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَأَنَّا لَمَّا سَمِعْنَا الْهُدَىٰ آمَنَّا بِهِ.
Therefore, when we knew that we cannot escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the punishment of Allah, so as soon as we heard this hidayah, we got this hidayah, آمَنَّا بِهِ. We believed in it. We knew that the best thing is to go back to Allah. There is no way to run away from Allah. Nowhere in the world. So the best thing is to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a beautiful lesson for us. We have been running away for too long. We tried every way of running away. It didn't work. Nothing worked. The only answer is the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way he said it. La malja'a wa la manja minka illa ilayk. There is no way to have any refuge against you. Ya Allah, he's talking to Allah. Dua. Ya Allah, no way of having any refuge against you, having any protection from you, but by coming back to you. To save ourselves from his punishment is to go back to him. Because there is no way to escape from him, to run away from him. So the best thing is go back to him. And it's so Rahim, so merciful, whoever would go back to him, he never closes doors for him. It says about Fir'aun, the person who claimed to be God, wal-ayyazu billah. Look at the tafaseer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when Fir'aun was being drawn, Jibreel alayhi salam says, I went quickly and took some mud and put it in the mouth of Fir'aun so that he will be drawn and he won't be able to say any word. I was afraid that he would say Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy on him, will save him. So therefore I didn't want him to be saved with all the what he was doing to Musa alayhi salam. So I ring, got some mud in my hand and put it in his mouth so he won't be able to say nothing. He knew the rahmah of Allah. Jibreel alayhi salam knew that if he would say it, he will be saved. And then if he would live, he will do the same thing again. About Qarun, it says in the tafsir, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when Qarun was swallowed by the earth, at that time, as he's going down, people are looking at him and he's going down. And people are watching. So he's calling, Musa, 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 please save me. And Musa alayhi salam is upset. He has seen Allah and he has taken Allah from him. And with this type of blame, he says, no way, I'm not going to forgive you. When he was drawn and he was in fact swallowed by the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a revelation to Musa alayhi salam saying that he called you more than 70 times. Oh Musa, if he would have called me once instead of calling you, I would have saved him. But he was calling you instead of calling me. This is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his doors are never closed, even for those type of people. So, فَمَنْ وَأَنَّا لَمَّا سَمِعْنَا الْهُدَىٰ. Therefore, when we heard the hidayah, we saw this hidayah, آمَنَّا بِهِ, we believed in it. We knew that this is the best way to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the only way.
فَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِرَبِّهِ فَلَا يَخَافُ بَخْصًا وَلَا رَهَقًا. Whoever will believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never be afraid of any decrees. Decrees in what? In the reward of the good deeds that he has been doing.
وَلَا رَهَقًا, and an increase in the sins that he have committed. So it won't be that a person did one thing wrong and he will see on the Day of Judgment that there are two wrong things in his deeds. No, one is one. And nothing, he would see it as decrease, which means he performed 10 salah and he gets the reward of only 9 salah. There will be nothing like that. فَلَا يَخَافُ بَخْصًا وَلَا رَحَقًا. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it in other way in Surah Al-Zilzal, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Whoever will do an atom of good will see it there. Whoever will do an atom of bad, if evil, will see it over there. We think as Allah gives us chances and He lets us go, we think that no one is going to ask us. I can just do whatever I want. I can see whatever I want and no one is going to be questioning me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's wrong. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. An atom of good will be seen, an atom of evil will be seen over there. وَأَنَّا مِنَّ الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّ الْقَاسِطُونَ. There are some of us who are submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and some of us are transgressors. The jinns are saying about themselves, some of us are very submissive, and we have submitted ourselves to Allah. And وَمِنَّ الْقَاسِطُونَ, there are some of us who are transgressors. فَمَنْ أَسْلَمَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ تَحَرَّوْا رَشَدًا. Whoever have submitted themselves to Allah, they are the ones who have chosen the straight path. وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا. And as far as the transgressors, they are the firewood for the hellfire. وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ, those who are the transgressors, فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا. They are, حَطَب means the firewood. They will be the firewood in the hellfire. Flames of the hellfire. Or the fuel of the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that there are only two types of people in the world. There isn't any more group in the world. There are only two types. We think that there are many groups. That there are groups that are kuffar. Then among kuffar, then we have many groups. Then we say there is another group that are core Muslims. And then among Muslims, we say there are many different groups. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to me, there are only two groups of people. There isn't any group of Muslims that is called liberal and fundamentalist. There are no those groups in Islam. There are only two groups in the whole world, taking the kuffar and Muslims in consideration. One is Muslimun, the other is Qasitun. Those who have submitted themselves to Allah, and those who did not. That's it. Either you submit, or you don't submit. One of the two things. There is no third group. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it in another ayah. In Surah Al-Taghabun. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ. That's it. He created you. Some of you are disbelievers, some of you are believers. Either there is iman or there is kufr. There is nothing in between. There is no third group in the world. That Muslim but liberal Muslims. Which means we take something from kufr, something from Islam and we mix and match. There is nothing like that in our being. Either Islam or kufr. مِنَّ الْمُسْلِمُونَ. Some of us have submitted to Allah. They are submissive people. We have to look at ourselves. If we have submitted ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. The scholars have mentioned a beautiful example to this. When you go to a barber, you are sitting there on the chair, he turns your face right and you will turn the face right. You'll keep it there. Now he turns it the other way and you keep it that way. Now he says keep it up and you'll keep it up. He pushes your head down and you keep it down. You don't move. If we just have that much submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be good with our deen. That when Allah says right, we go right. When He says left, we go left. When He says straight, we go straight. When He says down, we go down. When He says up, we go up. That's it. and we don't change with our own will. We'll see what Allah wants and then we'll do it. If from day to night, from early morning till night, every day, each action that we perform, we judge ourselves for it and we ask ourselves and we question ourselves, is that something that Allah wants me to do or He doesn't like me to do? That's it. Did He say up? Did He say down? Did He say right? Did He say left? Let me ask Him, what does He say? We say Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's book, Sahih al-Bukhari, is one of the most authentic, or is the most authentic book of hadith, and is the most authentic book after Quran al-Kareem, is a blessed book. All he has narrated in that book is a hadith. There were many other scholars also who wrote similar type of books, and they wrote a hadith in the books. They never narrated anything else. They did not fabricate things of themselves and narrate them over there. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed that book, Sahih al-Bukhari. One of the reasons that we see it, why it was so much blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Imam Bukhari himself says, it took me 16 years to write it. Why? Each time he wants to write a hadith in the book, he would take a shower, perform 2 rak'ah salah, istikhara, and then he will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then ask, Ya Allah, if it is good for me to write it, then allow me to write it. And then after that, he will look at his feeling. If he would feel like writing it, he would do it. If he doesn't feel like writing it, he won't write that. Now, again, he's taking shower, 2 rak'ah salah, and dua, and then he will think about another hadith, whether should I write it or not in my book. And this is how he wrote all of these books. That connection that he had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established it. So, that is the submission. That is being just looking at, okay, everything is hadith, but I want to see whether true istikhara, I want to find out whether I should write it in my book or not. The other ones that he did not write doesn't mean they are not a hadith, and doesn't mean they are not authentic hadith. The whole ummah believes that there are much more authentic hadith than we have in Sahih al-Bukhari. There are many more. But Allah blessed his book. Blessed it so much that up to this day he's getting so much reward over there under the ground. He's receiving so much reward. Each person recites any hadith, gets any hadith from that book, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi is getting the reward for it. So, this is when they establish that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they have submitted themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that they don't want to do nothing without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without doing istikhara, Ya Allah, if it is good, make it happen for me, Ya Allah. So, وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ. There are only two groups in the world. Some of them are those who have submitted themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The others who are rejecting to submit themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So either we submit or we don't submit. One of the two choices. There is no third choice there. فَمَنْ أَسْلَمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever would submit, those are the people who have chosen the straight path for themselves. Those are the people who have chosen the Sirat al-Mustaqim, and those who would try to find excuses and say, I can't do it, I have this reason for not doing it, of course, they have decided, in other words, not to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنْ لَوْ إِسْتَقَامُوا عَلَى الطَّرِيقَةِ لَأَسْقَيْنَاهُمْ مَاءً غَدَقًا. Allah says, if they will stand on the straight path, if all the people will stay on the straight path, and they won't keep on deviating from it, going away from it, لَأَسْقَيْنَاهُمْ مَاءً غَدَقًا. We will feed them abundance of water. Normally in Quran, when Allah says a lot of water, that simply means a lot of risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a lot of blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason he uses the word water for that, because water is the source of everything. Water is the source of everything. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran al-Kareem, خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. We created every living being from the water. That's the main source. Water is the main source for everything. If there is no water in the world, there is no existence of this world anymore. So So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore, for the blessings that He blesses us with, uses the word water. So He says, if you people will keep on obeying me and won't go away from my deen, لَأَسْقَيْنَاهُمْ مَاءً غَدَقًا, we would have always been feeding them abundance of water, which means a lot of blessings. But if we have those blessings, لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِيهِ, that doesn't mean that if a person will have a lot of wealth, that simply means he should be satisfied, Allah is pleased with me. He says that will also be a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِيهِ, to test them, to see what direction they would take after getting the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after getting more wealth and after getting this risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what direction they would use.
وَمَنْ يُعْرِضْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ رَبِّهِ يَسْلُكْهُ عَذَابًا صَعَدًا, whoever will turn away from the remembrance of Allah, whoever will turn away from the remembrance of Allah, يَسْلُكْهُ عَذَابًا صَعَدًا, he will cause him to enter into a severe punishment. But really, let us understand what does this ayah means. Ayah is very strong and very important. The message of the ayah is, don't forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يُعْرِضْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ رَبِّهِ, whoever will turn away, will turn his face away from the deen, from the remembrance of Allah, will forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at any time. Allah says, I would put him in the punishment. And the word sa'ada means, su'ud means to climb something. Adaban sa'ada means a punishment that will always be in increase. It will always be increasing. He says, if you forget about me, if you don't remember me, if you don't remember my deen, I would put you in a type of punishment that will make your situation worse and worse. And unfortunately, we all see that everyone is disturbed in the life. Wealthy people are disturbed and the poor people are disturbed. People who have families are disturbed and people who have no families, they are disturbed. People who have children, they are disturbed, and people who have no children, they are disturbed. What is going to satisfy us now? Nations are disturbed. Individuals are disturbed. Families are disturbed. Communities are disturbed. Everyone is disturbed. There isn't anything that you can think of that if I would have been there, then I would be in much better situation. Everyone thinks. You find many of those movie stars. Everyone feels that these people are having so much peace of mind. He's always happy. You see his movies. He's always having a good time. He's getting paid those millions. Those football players who are making millions of dollars. In no time, you see, one of them would like to become a politician. Why? What made him think of changing the field? Of going somewhere, stepping somewhere else? If he had so much peace of mind as we think he is the person having it, then he will just have all the fun that he has and he won't take all of the other trouble on his head. But he doesn't have it there. A person who becomes a governor, he feels he would like to become a president. Then only he might have some peace of mind. And there is no peace of mind nowhere. Everyone feels that the other field might have something better for me. And he steps towards the other fields and he feels, no, there is nothing good. A businessman, a person who's in business, he tries to start different type of business. He says, this business is not good anymore. A person who has a house, he feels house in another neighborhood might be better. A person who has a car, he feels another type of car will be better. No satisfaction anywhere. Because these things are not there to give us any satisfaction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that if you forget Allah, the punishment will be ever increasing. The situation will be getting worse and worse. We will try to make it better. And we'll work harder to get it better. And the harder the person works, the more he gets, and the more he's facing hardships now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that, remember, the main thing that will give you the peace of mind in this life is the remembrance of Allah. That will keep you away from the hardships and from the punishments.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to understand his book, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to follow the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.